Hey everybody, welcome back to We Are Podcast. This is We Are Air Season 5, Episode 3, The Suicide Squad. If this is your first time checking out the podcast network, please head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you get a chance, head over to our social media. All links can be found in the description. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcast. And with that said, on to the podcast.
We are rarer.
They even do ramen this late.
They will for me, because I'm Javier fucking Pirates. The thickest dick in the West. Let's go.
So I got a basket for my bicycle today so I could put the puppy in it, and we went out.
Yeah, I saw and, that. You're like, dude, the fucking Wicked Witch of the East.
Dude, he loved it though. He was the whole time. He was like, I was like, this is fucking mom. Right on.
That's a good way to meet chicks too.
Dude, yeah. Every older woman has stopped and talked to us as we walked him. Like, and then yeah, everyone loves a puppy. So I can't, but the puppy phase is
hard to be mad while holding one. I'll tell you that.
Goddamn juice. Somebody would have gave Hitler a puppy. He would have been fine.
Melts away.
Oh,
it all melts away.
Goddamn
juices.
Maybe I want to kill them all. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the We Are Air podcast. This is Duck. I'm here with
Jake
and
Javi.
And what is the We Are Air podcast? It's the podcast
about
movies, entertainment, whatever the fuck we want to talk about. And today, we're going to start by talking about hands. We're going to start by talking about the movie news.
Movie news!
Boo-dam, boo-doo-doo, boo-dam, boo-dam, win-wah.
All right, let's start by talking about...
Widdly Waw.
The Widdly Waws. Let's talk about Clerks 3 just started production in New Jersey. Kevin Smith, of course, starting it, sending out a photo of the Clerks. Oh, shit, booze. We got booze in the crowd right now. Clerks 3 sent out a photo. Production.
Boo!
Photo. I heard you say boo, Jake. Not a fan anymore. You're leaving the Kevin Smith behind. Is that correct?
Boo. I don't like him anymore. What happened to him? What the fuck happened to him?
I still like him, dude.
He turned to a giant fucking pussy with a heart attack. And then he's like, oh, my daughter's in movies now, and I better be, you know, extra fucking gay.
I still like him. He's still Kevin Smith to me.
Always be Kevin Smith to me, but now he's the whiny pussy version of Kevin Smith, the one that should have died with his fucking heart attack. Not this, I don't like this new Kevin Smith who decided to rethink his life. He still wears goddamn ladies' coats with shoulder pads that are fucking 5 times too big for his fucking skinny ass. Buy some clothes and fit your ass, motherfucker. You're a grown ass man. Like, you're not fucking fat anymore. You're not Silent Bob. Like, what are you doing?
He literally, well, this he
does
movie.
It's a disguise. He does it to fool you, to make you think that he's still the same old Kevin Smith. But no, he wants to fuck up Masters of the Universe and He-Man fans and everything else. And he wants to make a shitty fucking reboot of fucking Jay and Silent Bob.
You didn't like it either?
Shit. Oh, it was horrible. You know it was fucking bad. It was bad.
It was a lot of fan service, like I said. And as a fan of the podcast, I could see that. And I kept watching it and thinking, well, I don't think other people are going to like this very much.
Fan service doesn't mean shit. Look at Rise of Skywalker. That was all fan service. I still fucking hate that movie.
He did the opposite of fan service.
Oh, you're thinking The Last Jedi. He did the opposite.
This is what fans wanted.
Yeah.
Fans did not want this.
Well.
But yeah, it was just, I just didn't like it. He was trying to like rehash old jokes and they were just so fucking cringy. I didn't like it. I really hope that he keeps Clerks at least in the same vein of Clerks 2 or the original Clerks. Because if it's anything like reboot, no.
It's not going to happen, dude. It's going to be like reboot. It's going to be like everything that he does recently.
If he fucks it up, he's done. said by
Duck. Mean, I feel like he's already done anyway.
He
like,
really I pissed think... off the people with He-Man. Like, I was shocked. Like, Jay is a huge He-Man fan. I had no idea. And he was just like, oh, it's crap. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, And then I was like, well, I was never a He-Man fan, so fuck it. He was like, you don't understand. He-Man was everything.
No, man. I was a Ghostbusters kid through and through.
I didn't give two fucks about He-Man Resurrection or whatever it's called. I was like, whatever.
I don't give a shit what it is either, but I don't like what it all stands for, though. I know what he's doing. I know what's going on, and I'm not with it. So.
Not a fan. All right, let's move on to Taika Waititi isn't done trying to make Akira. Javi, do you want to see a live-action Akira?
Boo! Honestly, boo! I'm not going to lie. I think a Taika Waititi Akira would be good. I don't think that is actually applicable. I think if you attempt to do any type of live action of Akira, you are going to shoot yourself in the fucking foot. It is not going to work.
Do that with Scarlett Johansson?
No, that would go through the show. And you know what? Oh. Visually, that could actually be applied to live action a lot easier than Akira can.
Yeah, Akira's third act alone is going to be have to be changed. Because even in the original movie, it's confusing as fuck. But
are we talking about an anime?
It is an anime. Yes. That's why I went to Hobbs. Yes.
And honestly, there's never been a decent live action anime interpretation ever.
Really? Ever?
Attack on Titan was shit. Full Metal Alchemist was shit.
You going to tell me that Aeon Flux was shit? Yeah, it was.
Well, Taika Waititi says, I'm still trying to make it. I don't want to give up on that. I have faith in him. He's a hell of a director. It got postponed because he went to direct Thor, Love and Thunder, which is going to be amazing.
Honestly, though, I feel like when it comes to him wanting to do Akira, I think he's buying into his own hype. It's like, yeah, I'm an amazing director. If anybody can do Akira live action, it's going to be me. It's like, no,
boo. I made Hitler a lovable character. Why can't I do an Akira fucking movie? He's the greatest.
Yeah,
Chris Crocker, leave Akira alone.
I would think it would be great. All right, moving on. Captain America 4, Anthony Mankie is going to be the lead of the movie. It's interesting how he found out he was at a grocery store and the teller that he knew at the front of it was like, hey, bro, is this real? And he held up the news to him and he's like, I guess so. So he found out he was going to be the lead of Captain America 4 while being in the grocery store. Are we looking forward to Anthony Mankie?
No, that's not how that happened. We all know it. We all know he knew beforehand. Not some cashier at the Piggly Wiggly was like, hey, you're the new Captain America, right? I still got your message right here. He's like, well, I guess I am, fellow citizen. Like, are you kidding me?
It's like he's trying to bite off how Ed O'Neill found out Married with Children was canceled.
How did he find out? Wait, what?
Yeah, he found out because I think it was a motel clerk as he was checking out. He was like, sorry about your show, bro. And then Ed O'Neill was like, what happened? And he called his agent. Yeah, they canceled Married with Children.
Oh, God damn it. Love and marriage. Love and marriage.
So go together like a horse and carriage.
So we looking forward to some Anthony Mankie
running
around. Really?
No.
I liked it.
I didn't care about Falcon Winter Soldier. No. I honestly said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it. If they knew that fucking Bucky and Falcon were going to be integral parts for the next phase of MCU, they should have built them up more. They really should have. And they dropped the ball with those first four phases.
Maybe. I agree.
Maybe. I like Falcon Winter Soldier. I didn't like the first three episodes, but the last three I thought kicked up a notch. I thought they did pretty well.
I think the most interesting part of that show was John Walker. U.S. agent. Yeah. He had the best character arc because he had an actual fucking motive behind his actions. Like he was like, he knew that he was second best without that fucking serum, you know, and that was his whole driving force in it. Love him or hate him. Yeah. He was a total piece of shit, but I'm saying like his arc was the best in it. Like that's the show that they fucking should have followed.
Well, there's rumors that he'll be part of the Dark Avengers when they eventually get to that. So
yeah, cool. I heard about that also. That would be cool. I mean, Anthony Mackie, I like him. I do. I like Sebastian Stan, but this show just didn't have any grasping power like, say, WandaVision or Loki. Those were the two better of the Marvel series so far. I really like What If.
What If?
I'll tell you that. What If is really good, and it's 18 episodes long. the second episode really grabbed me because of the star power that they had in it. The animation is fucking beautiful. It's on point. And Javi, I know you're an animation guy.
Yeah.
You can tell like a, there's a good chunk of this shit that's rotoscoped. Yeah. A good chunk of that's not.
But it's
like,
so well done.
It goes together seamlessly. But yeah, What If is, that's the thing that I'm really hedging my bets on with the fourth phase of MCU personally. Yeah. I think that this is going to be the series that goes, yeah, this is what I want, as opposed to these. I'm not excited about the new phases until we get Doctor Strange or Spider-Man. Though that's what I'm looking forward most to.
Excellent fucking segue. Kevin Feige has opened up about all the speculation on the internet about Spider-Man No Way Home, and everyone saying that maybe they won't even drop a trailer.
They're not going to drop a trailer for this one.
Yeah, he says.
Yeah, they will. That's bullshit. Disney will not allow that, dude. They're like, nope, you got to fucking show these people what the fuck they've been waiting for. I guarantee you, I heard this. This was a fucking false rumor on the internet.
There's but if you no think, way they're not if you think about it, what if like all their action scenes actually involve major spoilers, so they really can't show any type of like things in their trailers?
Well, we already know that it's going to be Electro and Doc Ock, so we already know it's going to be multiverse stuff. So yeah, you can show that at the end of the trailer. You drop like the hard like Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield showing up. That's what you do. But
or
I
Deadpool.
Think,
no, well,
at the same time, you see one face and then the other one pops up in the screen. They look at each other like, what the fuck is going on right now? And they all look back at the Tom Holland.
Wait, is Deadpool Doctor Strange or Spider-Man No Way Home?
It's Doctor Strange.
Okay, just shit, I got confused.
Yeah. So Kevin Feige said, honestly, I've seen the fever online. It has not necessarily occurred to me that it is any more or less secret than any of our other projects. I think all of our projects, we want to preserve surprises. That's all that secrecy is for. So it will be in theaters December 17th, and there will be a trailer before that. You can be assured, he said. So it's definitely a going down. So is it happening?
Man, there's no way there would be no, like, Disney would not allow that at all because they have too many fucking funds tied up in these goddamn movies.
Also,
no,
yeah,
there's going to be a trailer.
Yeah, and there could be released anytime now, so I'm looking forward to that. The only other thing Marvel News related they released today is Riri Williams is going to be in Wakanda Forever, which was kind of cool sounding, before she gets her own TV show, Ironheart, which would be kind of cool. I think if they have Shuri, I think that's the name of the character.
Yeah.
Introduce her to the tech, like the Wakanda tech, and then she takes that and becomes Ironheart. I think it'd be badass. I think that'd be really cool. I'm excited for Wakanda Forever because I'm very curious to how they're going to do the movie. I feel like they're going to do it as more, instead of focusing on a main character, they're going to do it as like an ensemble piece. And hopefully there's like a bunch of Black Panthers that come through. That'd be really cool. There was like, they took Shuri and they took
M'Batu.
M'Batu. Thank you. And then
M'Baku is the fucking logical fit.
Yeah,
honestly, I would love to see him just like take on the role of Black Panther. Like, hey, T'Challa died. Would you be the next Black Panther?
Not even say that, dude. Maybe fucking they could just write it off as T'Challa fucking actually went and joined the Ravagers and like he just never came back.
And what if
I like that? Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't necessarily have to be a fucking dead character. They could just be like, you know what? He turned down the mantle and he fucking went and took on other adventures that we don't even know about.
Or he went exploring the multiverse.
Yeah.
I had a theory that maybe they'll show him in the beginning of the movie in costume, and then he disappears for the majority of the movie, and then he comes back in costume and, like, hands down the mantle. Like, you could do that. No one's saying they can't do CGI for him, too.
This is true, but I don't want them to, like, fucking Paul Walker him, because that is just terrible. It is
no,
bad.
Yeah, don't CGI him, but you can still write that scene, Beth. Like, it was sent through a message, like, from a starship or something, and the belt or the fucking crown and title was delivered to him there without even having to show him. You know, just be like a note from T'Challa from 7 billion light years away. That's why he can't fucking be here, you know, to do it or
is that second episode of What If pretty good then?
It's amazing.
It's really good. It's really good. I'm a fan of the series right now. I'm really looking forward to what's going on. I think that all these characters are going to tie together in some sort of giant event, like at the end. There's 18 episodes. So I think
maybe they'll do Marvel zombies at the end.
They are. Well, maybe, yeah. That thing's going to be, I mean, I know they're doing Marvel Zombies, but
that would be bomb.
You think I, like, what if it's going to tie into the multiverse arc along with the phase? Or you think it's going to be like a completely separate thing?
Like, I think it'll be a completely separate thing, like the actual comic books. Well, the actual comic books are great if you've ever read them.
Sorry, I never read them.
That's cool. All right. Moving on to the next thing, I want to talk about Jason Rising, a Friday the 13th fan film. This has been released on YouTube. It is 100% a fan film that was created using the Friday the 13th franchise characters, Jason Voorhees specifically. It's an hour long. I just suggest everyone go check it out. It is cheesy as fuck. And I just wanted to give it a shout out on the podcast and say, check out this love of Friday the 13th. I'm going to watch it and do a Wappen reviews on it. I can't wait. But from what I've seen of it so far, it's pretty bad.
We tried to watch it when I was doing laundry at your place, and you were just like, yeah, I can't do this.
Even the beginning, this is really like, I can tell this isn't good. But I want to give a shout out. The other one I want to give a shout out is Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the director's cut, which just released the other day on smbmovie.com. They added an additional 20 minutes of material to the movie, which I watched. So it's an interesting story. They bought out a tape on eBay that was found in a storage locker by the producer, who had it in a storage locker or something like that, Storage War style. And they found out that it was a production tape of the movie. And so whenever they compiled them together, any added scene actually has like the numbers on the bottom, like the production storage numbers, and it ticks through. But they actually took the original movie, the DVD quality, and then they took the VHS quality and show you what was deleted from the movie. And the two big scenes, one, there's a Devo chamber where a character who is a tech for the Devo thing, where they put the toad up in and he turns into a Goomba, they de-evolve him into slime. And for years, people would wonder why there was slime on the floor in front of the Devo chamber. Well, that's the reason why. The second one is Iggy and Spike. They do a rap in the Boom Boom Room where they're talking shit about Koopa. And later in the movie, one of the characters says they were talking shit about Koopa in the Boom Boom Room and no one ever knew what the fuck that meant. And there's an actual rap. It's terrible. And what's interesting about the Mario Brothers movie is the actors who played Iggy and Spike, at a certain point, they just started rewriting their scenes and doing improv, and they kept it in the movie.
Isn't one of them like an Oscar-winning writer?
Fisher Stevens.
Yeah.
He was also in Always Sunny. He was in House 2. No, wait, he wasn't in House 2. That was already.
He was at Short Circuit, yes. Hackers.
Yes.
I know he was in Hackers, but I don't think he's in Short Circuit. He?
Yeah, he's the Indian dude.
He's 35. He created the virus.
Yeah, he's definitely, like I said, they got to create their own stuff, and they filmed it, and they kept it in, and they kept some of it not in. And I don't know. I watched it. I enjoyed it.
That was the end scene of Mario Brothers, right? Where it's like, they throw you off thinking that these guys that are pitching a deal to these brothers, we're going to give them a Mario Brothers game, and at the end, it's Fisher Stevens and the other dude.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah. It's the post-credit scene. So there's these guys, and they look like salesmen, and they're pitching the game, Super Mario Brothers, to these two guys, and you think that it's Mario and Luigi. And then whenever the camera pans around, it's Fisher Stevens and the other.
What?
Dude. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I've never even seen that. That's at the end. That's at the post credits.
They put a post credit at the end of this fucking piece of shit movie.
I never saw that before.
People
dude.
Are going to sit and wait. Yeah. Look it up. I'm sorry. Yeah. You can look it up right now. I don't care.
No, I'm looking it up because I want to see it. Super Mario Bros.
Dude, as a kid, I fucking love that movie. As an adult, I'm like, what was wrong with me?
Yeah,
and here it is.
I agree. I agree with you. I wanted to believe it was a good movie as a kid, and then as I got older, I was just like, "What was I thinking?"
Holy fuck! How have I never seen this? There's a couple of Japanese people pitching the game.
Yes, it's the creators of Mario Brothers doing it.
That's so fucked up, dude. Like when you start talking about, it, I'm like, what is he talking about? That's awesome. Fuck yeah! All right, right on.
Hell yeah.
Other than that, Idris Elba is the voice Knuckles the Echidna in the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie. I don't know.
Idris Elba, huh?
Idris Elba, is that how you say his name? Idris Elba?
He's great, dude.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
Charles Minor.
Yep, and he is so much better in Suicide Squad than fucking Will Smith.
Oh, well, let's get to it. Let's talk.
Well, here's the thing. Will Smith is just Will Smith in every movie he plays. What's the difference between Will Smith and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Will Smith and Men in Black? Nothing. They're the same person.
It's charismatic as shit, Will right. Smith.
Well, I will say this. The guy that they got to play Deadshot in Suicide Squad, he acted just like Will Smith.
Just like Will Smith.
I know they're different characters, but I'm just saying I prefer Idris Elba.
All right, hold on. Let me introduce it. All right, we're talking about the Suicide Squad 2, the Suicide Squad, whatever it's called. The Scood.
Scood.
Scood. That's all you got to know it's called. We're going to talk about Scood. All right. So, obviously, already talking about it, this role was written for Will Smith, right? And they just put Deadshot into it? Or do you think it was actually written piece by piece for Deadshot?
It was written the opposite of what you just said. It was written specifically not for Will Smith.
James Gunn said that he specifically wrote it with Idris Elba in mind.
Yeah, to take the place of Will Smith because he wasn't going to be in it.
Right. Yeah, it's like if there has to be anybody else besides Will Smith.
I get the, it's too close to the character of Deadshot not to be the same. It's the daughter situation, the way he kills, like he can kill with anything. He's a perfect shot. It's just too close not to be written as Deadshot originally.
It was rewritten.
Yeah,
as
to be Bloodsport. Yeah,
it's very clear, but it works.
Initially, he was hired to take the place, and it was between James Gunn and Idris Elba. They decided not to call it Bloodsport. They not to call it Deadshot, and so Will Smith could come back in a third movie if he wanted to. So that's what's going on. But does it work as a separate character completely? Yeah, I think so. I think he's fucking. I love the scene with the daughter talking to him. Like, you think it's going to be the same as the first movie. And that's the other thing is they keep saying this is kind of a remake reboot. I just consider it a second movie in the series. I didn't see anything that implied that it wasn't attached to the first movie. Did you guys?
No. I like to think that it was just a separate thing.
Yeah, it's just its own thing. It's just
it's better. It's a lot better.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
it truly is.
Yeah.
But it's rated R. WB didn't interfere with it. You know, the first Suicide Squad movie, it was what it was. Duck, you and I, we both admit that we like this movie. I think Bobby's on the fence about this one.
No, I hate that one.
Yeah, okay. he's hanging on the fence over there by himself while we like this movie.
Yeah. Get off the fence.
Yeah, please. Come on. It's fun. It's a popcorn movie.
The first half of it's good. The second half is not as good, but it's still a fun movie. It's fine the way it is.
But it doesn't fucking touch close to what this movie is.
Not one bit. This movie is head over.
It's streets ahead.
It's streets ahead.
It's fucking, like miles ahead.
Hey everyone, it's just Duck jumping in here real quick to say thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. If you're enjoying it, head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you get a chance, head over to our social media. All links can be found in the description. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcast. And with that, back to the podcast. Well, all right, guys. What specifically is it about this movie, though, other than King Shark, which we can all agree kills it with Stallone's voice?
Love him.
Fucking King Shark. So... Such
his little fake
awesome
mustache thing that he could pass.
Everything he says, every second of screen time he has is fucking hilarious or awesome. Like he's the Groot of this fucking movie.
He's Groot 2.0.
Yeah.
And James Gunn is like, well, you know, I don't want him to be like Groot. And it's like, shut up. You know what you're doing here.
Go ahead.
Sebastian, who's like fucking baby Groot. Also, likes using these. The rat catcher. Rat.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know the rat's name. Yeah, it's adorable. Freaking stupid, cute little rat waving at people, offering up leaves and shit. Like, oh my God. All right. How about the beginning of the movie? The misdirect of putting together the B team or the A team or whatever you call it, and then killing them all off immediately.
By the way, I'm sure so many people got a fucking boner watching Pete Davidson get his fucking face blown.
Yes. I was one of them. I was like, oh, yeah, dude.
As our fans of Pete Davidson,
kill that piece of shit. I fucking hate him.
I think they knew that, and that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Of course.
And also introduces what level of gore this movie is going to be at, because they just fucking take out his face. Just gone. And I love the choice of that song, that these are the people that died. Love that.
Yeah, dude. Fucking Jim Carroll. Did you ever see the movie Basketball Diaries?
Mm-mm.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Mark Wahlberg.
No, I never seen.
Oh, it's really good. But either way, he wrote that movie, and it's based on a true story. And then he also was the lead singer of that band that sings that song. These are people that died. Like, he's got a really weird career. You should watch the movie Basketball Diaries if you never have it.
Check that out.
Yeah, the beginning of it is awesome. And they kill Boomerang, or Boom, what's his name?
Captain Boomerang.
I was shocked that they killed him. Like,
yeah, I hated it.
I was like, God, I will damn. Admit,
that's when I knew it had a different tone, because I actually felt something when Captain Boomerang died.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know me, I love that fucking heartfelt shit, and like something that could get you right here. And he just like, when I saw him get like, just like stabbed, like, fuck, this is it. And then it blew up behind him. I was like, nope.
I thought it was badass. And
like, whenever he was on the helicopter to begin with, I just thought that his whole interaction with everybody on the plane is like, oh, look, we're in the cold fridge of a butcher's fucking shop. Don't they even know about our halls or whatever? Like, that shit was fucking great. She's like, I'll leave him alone. He's like, what kind of fucking dog you think that is? He's got opposable thumbs. Like, he did great at the beginning of it. And I was like, oh man, that it really did hit home though. Like, nobody is safe in this movie, I guess. But
yeah, that's the way to do it, to make it seem like anyone can be killed. And then when you find out there's a B team coming in, you're just like, oh shit. Like, but they kill almost everybody except for Flag and Harley. You're just like, holy shit. And whenever they zoom around with playing that song to show like the corpses, I was like, this is fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah, dude.
I was totally in. I was like, right on, let's go for this adventure. And my only complaint, Javi, I told you I had complaints.
I know. This
movie is too long. It's so fucking long, dude. It is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Like, are you kidding me? You could have cut out a little bit of it. Did you guys feel it was too long, or did you feel like it was just right?
Honestly, it was actually just right. It's not like an Apatow movie. We're like, okay, this could have ended roughly 45 minutes ago. Why are we hitting 2.5 hours right now, Apatow? With this movie, I felt like it was perfect. The timing was good. You got to where you had to go in just the right amount of time. And yeah, it built up and it all coalesced in a very good moment. And it's just like, I like the length. I have no problem with the length.
How about you, Jake?
I think you could have shaved 15 minutes off. The Harley Quinn scenes, mostly, though.
Yeah, her stuff was a little bit boring.
Yeah, it dragged on a little too long. And everybody loves to see Margot Robbie on screen. I'm not stupid.
Oh, like, no, I'm the same way. I love seeing her
on screen. It felt disjointed in a lot of ways. They could cut it out of a lot of chunks of that shit.
Yeah, it did some kind of fillerish with her.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, nothing against her, but I mean, like, she already fucking killed the president.
El Presidente.
At that point. Yeah. And then the scene dragged on more. And it's like, oh, we're going to have like a torture scene where she got caught. And it's like, all right. And I do love the bar scene, though, whenever they go to the El Gatito Amable or whatever, or La Gatita Amable. That scene was fucking great. They had Kayfley playing in the background.
Oh, I fucking love that fun.
So and much. Lloyd Kaufman's in there too.
Yes, Lloyd Kaufman was there. Yeah, fucking Kaufman. James Gunn's mentor.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, that scene was fucking great. You can't have that scene without the fucking Harley Quinn scene. So it's like it's a pass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But she was a little bit lesser in this movie, I feel like. I feel like in the first
she wanted to be.
Yeah, she got.
She wanted to be.
And this one is just lesser. And but
and, you know, it should have been, because those characters were way more captivating than fucking Harley Quinn.
Yeah, the entire team was. But she knew that. And she had the failure of Birds of Prey. And she didn't want the whole movie riding on her shoulders. She likes being just a little side piece in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? She likes being that little side dime in the fucking movie. Nobody gives a fuck about her.
To go back to what you were saying about that bar scene, I love when they kick in with Kayfley, they kick in with Peacemaker. Go, Senora, you forgot the rat.
Yeah,
and then he looks at Ratcatcher 2 and he goes like that. John Cena, where the fuck did he come from in this movie?
I don't know. I didn't even see him the entire movie.
He was so good.
He killed it. Fucking yeah. Polka Dot Man killed it, and King.
Oh, I loved it.
That's where you're at, dude. Those are
Polka
your big
Dot Man. Cena, so good.
All right, that scene where they go in to the camp and they start killing all the resistance fighters, not knowing they're the resistance fighters.
Yes, when what King a great Shark, reveal at the end.
I know, like, so fucking
at
great.
The end of that scene, it's like, oh, all of our people are dead. Like.
Yeah, that was awesome. And especially because they're competing back and forth to see who can kill them better. That was cracking me up. And then King Shark is downing that guy in a couple gulps. That made my day. Just the num-num. That cracked me up.
I love the interaction between Bloodsport and Peacemaker. He was like, oh, non-fatal. That was a non-fatal shot. He goes, watch. And the guy explodes. He goes, now you're just showing off. Oh, yeah? It's only showing off when you have to show off this dope as fuck. He's right.
He's right.
That was awesome. Yeah, that the whole scene was hilarious. I enjoyed the shit out of it. And then, like I said, Polka Dot Man, just his face swelling up. It was hysterical. Like, the body horror on that was so
funny. The practical effects. The night that, like, whenever he woke up from it was obviously the fucking greatest part of that whole shit right there. But I was in marvel at the practical effects, and I'm so glad they used them also. Mm. And I think we talked about it earlier, maybe before we were recording, but the
King Shark King ripping Shark. The guy in half. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a practical effect mixed with CGI. So, and Jake just put that as his background on his Facebook, but it's fucking so cool looking. And that's James Gunn's favorite shot of the movie. He said that's a favorite thing he produced in the movie, which rightfully so. But this movie has a lot of cool looking shit. I mean, especially when you get to Starro at the end of the movie. If they would have ended the movie before fighting Starro, I actually think I would have been okay with it. Like, whenever they're just like, ah, he's too big, fuck him. But the fact that they continued it on, I was like, all right, I'm down with this. But even in the theater, I was like, I'm okay if they end the movie here. Like, if they say, fuck it, we're out. But the fact that they went on to battle him, I love the fact that Harley Quinn takes him out with the fucking javelin she's been holding the whole time.
I love the really cool scene when, like, she actually goes into his eye and it's just like a pool.
Yeah. And the rats come in and start eating. Like, I thought that
was can't swim, though.
She can't
remember
swim.
Remember in the first movie, she was like, Pumpkin, I can't swim. And then she goes underwater, but she can hold her breath forever.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Because before they crash, she says that.
Yeah,
Batman comes in and saves her and gives her the fucking kiss.
One thing I do love about James Gunn, though, I like the fact that his use of, like, practical effects, it's like he's never let go of that, like, from his, like, fucking working at Trauma days under Lloyd Kaufman and shit. And I like the fact that he still carries that through his films, like, Super. That was almost all fucking practical effects. He hadn't even had practical effects in fucking Guardians, and I like to see that he brought that to the DC movie with fucking the Scoot.
The Scoot!
Scoot.
Well, I already said it, King Shark fucking killed it. Awesome with Stallone's voice.
I mean, it's one of my favorite characters in the movie. I was really upset that Rick Flagg got killed.
Yeah, that was cool how they did the Mortal Kombat looking inside the extra showing the heart and the little really piece of porcelain going into him or whatever it was. I was like, oh,
that whole scene was amazing.
The fight was amazing. The whole
scene. Oh yeah, the scene with because it started off in the reflection of his helmet, the Peacemaker helmet.
Yeah,
and you saw like a whole like 180 turn of the entire room with it.
That was what I was going to say. The cinematography in this feels like a comic book, especially like whenever they have like they show them walking on the beach and then the beach. Yeah, it, like all the fragments of the beach.
Or whatever. Yeah, it says Jotunheim now. Or Harley Quinn.
And a lot of that was done in camera. You could tell like whenever Harley Quinn's down in the hole,
the majority of
back
it.
To Harley. It's just you could tell that was written in the roots of whatever the hole was.
It was like
the Jotunheim, like you said, that was like obviously a sculpture that they went up over.
It's like the Scott Pilgrim. It was like an Edgar Wright type move. Like we
I did
about
say it. That. Yeah. It felt a little bit. A lot of this felt a lot like Edgar Wright in a lot of ways.
You feel it. Yeah.
100%. But it works and it works great. I can't wait to see a third version of it. The one thing I was going to say, I read a theory online today that the original team that goes up, the team of Blackguard and Savant and TDK, supposedly, what's her name? The bad guy, the woman.
Viola Davis?
Dude, she did so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Also.
What is her character's name? Oh, shit. I can't even
think. Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller. Supposedly, Amanda Waller, she sent them in to be a distraction and to get killed. That was their very purpose. And she wanted to get rid of Rick Flag and Harley Quinn. I think that was the thing the whole time.
Yeah.
And so
that makes sense.
The B team,
why would she put them on the shit team?
Yeah, she put them on the shit team. Yeah. So the Weasel survives. And James Gunn has said Weasel might not have committed those murders with those 27 children. He said,
might not have. He also might have recanted a lot of shit he said on Twitter. So I don't necessarily believe this guy, but this I like him. True. I'll tell you that.
But supposedly that team was sent in to be destroyed. I like that theory a lot, especially because it did seem like the lesser of the powered people on that team. And then it cracked me up whenever Bloodsport and Peacemaker basically had the same background and powers. Yes. I was like,
this is awesome. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Although you said we're all different.
I do it, but I do it better. He fucking cracked me up, dude. John Cena was awesome. All right. I didn't know this. I didn't stay around for the post credits. John Cena survives?
Yeah.
You know, we're getting a Peacemaker HBO series directed by James Gunn.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You guys already shot and filmed. He directed like 5 out of the 8 episodes also, but he wrote the entire series.
I'm excited about that.
The guy who was the main intel man for...
The guy who looked like Will Sonamo?
Yeah, exactly. character's name is John Economos, so Steve AG. He's the guy who did the mocap for
King Shark.
King Shark. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
He's going to be in the series as well. But yeah, he was fucking hilarious. I don't know if you've ever seen the Sarah Silverman show, but he killed it in that. He was really good.
Did he play one of the gay guys?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's a super tall dude.
Yeah, I remember that. Guys, what else about the movie do you guys like? What
soundtrack was fucking dope.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It really good.
Any specific song that really, other than for me, it was the Decemberist song that really stuck out for me. I've been listening to the soundtrack and I really like it. How about you guys?
K-Flay, the favorite song on the
board. I was going to say K-Flay. Yeah. I was about to say K-Flay also.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Oh, I love Polka Dot Man. And his mom
stole it for me completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love Polka Dot Man.
Yeah.
And especially the way that he goes out, he's like, I'm a superhero. I'm a motherfucking super.
Splat. Like,
that sucked. I hated that.
No, that was awesome.
They never showed his body.
Oh, yeah. I know.
No, they just showed his, they just showed his outfit. He's not dead.
But he also said that he had brothers and sisters that lived and they might look just fucking like him.
That would be awesome to bring him back and be like, I'm not him, but I'm him. I love the fact that he saw his mom everywhere when he's on the dance floor, especially with all the people dancing around him. That cracked
me. No, whenever the entire Suicide Squad was his mom.
That was good.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah, even just at the end, he's like, mom it's your King mom. Shark. Yeah, his fucking mom was King Shark.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. I love that. That was just such a fun little twist. And when he goes to the cabin after they kill all the people in the little camp, he's like, I turned your co-workers into my mom and killed them.
Yes, that was the best fucking line. That was hilarious.
What a fun movie. Just what a fun movie. If it wasn't so long, I think it'd be even better. That's my only complaint. Only complaint is it's super long. Starro, with the ridiculousness of having the starfish on the faces and then showing what it like as soon as the starfish is on the face, you're done. Like that thing is like showing that scene with the gore and stuff. I was like, oh shit. And then just how cool it was to see all the starfish coming out and taking over the army and all the people in the village and stuff like that. I was like, this is ridiculous and over the top and so comic booky, and yet it works. Everything is comic booky and would work on the page, like as a 4-print comic, like a 4-color comic, but it works here in the movie too. And people are saying, like Hobby says, this is in this top 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, why is it in your top 5?
It's really well done. The writing is really good. The acting was so fucking well done. Usually in like ensemble movies like this, there'll always be one standout acting wise, but in this one, they were all hitting their fucking marks. And you genuinely cared about these characters. Like I was upset with when who died at the beach, Captain Boomerang. I got upset like that quick into it. I was really upset when Polka Dot fucking bit it. And I kind of understood where fucking Starro was coming from, that he just wanted to be left alone and look at the stars. And it's just like, you genuinely care about all these characters and the soundtrack and just like the certain fucking hits and that whole scene between Peacemaker and fucking Colonel Flag. That whole scene was just fucking amazing, especially when you can see the regret on Peacemaker's face having to do this. And this motherfucker loves killing, and he had regret about this one. And that, and that's just
for lost peace. That's why he kills. Come on now.
He would suck all those dicks, or he'd eat all those dicks on the fucking beach. Oh, I forgot to mention the scene with the smaller bullet too. That was really cool. Whenever they both shoot, whenever
that was a good callback.
Yeah, that was fucking bomb. How about you, Jake? Is this in your top five, you think?
Of DC movies?
No, all the superhero movies.
I don't know. No. Yeah. I put it in top 10.
I would say for me, it's top 20. I it's good. Like I told Hobbs earlier, I put the two Guardians movies above this. I like this, but it doesn't have the same feel goods as those have. But it has it, but it's a different version of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do like a lot of parts of this, though. I mean, there's no denying that. And also at the very end, I think Javi kind of touched on it, though. Whenever Starro was just like, I was happy just looking at the stars. And then he fucking dies. It's like, oh, that's kind of fucking, that's brutal. Gruesome. Yeah, that's a little fucking macabre. I liked it.
It was kind of implied that the Tinkerer was doing things to him that might have been sexual in nature.
That was really implied.
He was totally fucking that starfish. He was
fucking that starfish.
Like, and that's what's funny, though, is because Peacemaker was correct. Starfish is a fucking slang term for butthole. Do you think there's some sort of connection? Yeah, clearly there is. I don't think anybody's put that together yet, but I posit that is a definite reference.
100%. I think that's happened. Javi, why do you look so depressed now?
Huh?
You look so sad.
I'm just on my phone talking to my Dasher.
Oh, okay. For the ramen. Yeah. Well, guys, is there anything else about the movie you want to talk about?
Yes. Well, not so much the movie itself. This is where DC needs to go, because Marvel ain't going anywhere near this type of shit. Now's a chance. Marvel's down. It ain't going to come back for a long time. DC's got to take this fucking ball and roll with it. You got to go hard R. You got to go graphic. You can. Your characters are built for this shit. Marvel characters aren't so much. But yes, they got to strike with this level. This is what they got to do. This is their way to beat Marvel.
Agreed. Yeah. 100% agreed. I think that what they're going to do also is they're going to move to a lot of HBO Max exclusive stuff and make it hard R. Like, people know HBO is a hard R. So there's nothing wrong with creating content that's hard R for it.
Right.
And do a Batman that is killing
Joe. Hard R.
Do yeah.
More series.
You see some bat dick or Batman eating out Catwoman. I don't give a fuck.
Actually, a Batman arc that I wouldn't mind seeing as a hard R series would be Death of the Family.
That would be cool.
If they do fucking Hush. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, that would be badass. Yeah, it'd be cool. There's been rumors that the Ben Affleck Batman will go to HBO Max exclusively. And if they can make that work, that'd be badass. And also the TV show, which is going to be the spinoff from the Batman, the Robert Pattinson Bat version, is going to be HBO Max. So HBO Max has the ability to do a lot of cool shit with the DC stuff. All right, guys, we talked some Suicide Scoot, and we had a good time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Duck. I've been here with
Jake.
And
Javi, if you don't like this movie, you can go fuck yourself.
And with that said, go fuck yourself. I don't know what to say.
Oh, shit.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Be
don't
bad.
Be a dick. Be bad. Don't be a dick. Bad. Go fuck yourself. What do you say? All right, that's the end of it. Boom. Done. Good. Alcohol.
And there it is. Thank you again so much for checking out the podcast today. If you enjoyed it, head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, you're going to love the other podcasts here on the We Are Podcast Network. We have We Are Bagoo, a video game podcast where we talk Atari to Steam and everything between. That's me and Dr. Ethan Eastwood breaking down all that video game lore and having such a good time. Heroes, Jiros, a Dungeons and Distractions side quest. Me and the boys were playing some D&D. You can start that one from Season 1, Episode 1. It's a blast the whole way through. And I Hate Being Sober. Personal stories from epic people.
I sit down with some of my favorite people of all time. We talk about their trials, their tribulations, and their journey this far. And finally, our new live video podcast, Camp/Horrorcast, where we're going to have a roundtable discussion about our favorite horror movies. That'll be available on Twitch and YouTube, streaming every Monday at 8 p.m. Check the links in the description to find out what movies we'll be watching. Also, check the links in the description for our social media. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcastNetwork. With that said, thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Please remember to support local comedy in any way that you can. We'll see you next time.